Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today we bring you a special panel discussion as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight. Today we are joined by Yuri Estapiak, the Chief Operating Officer of Logistics Plus, along with two of his colleagues, Courtney Harmley, Account Manager and Director of IOR and EOR Operations, and Megan Stetz, Imports Manager at Logistics Plus. The panel will discuss some of the needs global companies have for third-party logistics services. Specifically, one area in which Logistics Plus has seen significant growth is in importer of record and exporter of record services. We'll break that down and more in this month's Business Spotlight segment with LP. Let's bring in our guests now, Yuri, Courtney, and Megan. To begin with, can each one of you provide a little background information about yourselves and how you came to join Logistics Plus, and also let our listeners know what your responsibilities include today? And we'll start with Yuri.
So I joined LP a little bit over 16 years ago. And have kind of, you know, worked at various departments of Logistics Plus, starting with the warehousing side and then working in the imports and export department, overseeing global operations and most recently becoming the COO.
Yuri, you've had quite the climb at LP. You began as an Edinburgh grad and you were also an intern, correct?
Yes, that is correct. As soon as I graduated Edinburgh University, actually one of my professors who was my mentor, was close friends with Jim, recommended me to Logistics Plus. So I started my internship at the warehouse and just kind of, you know, over the years I've been able to move up and reach the current level. And, you know, it's been a very interesting and exciting journey.
Courtney, tell us about your LP journey.
Yeah, so I've been with LP for a little over 4 years now. Came in on working on a dedicated account for us with a FF&E customer, working on all their imports, exports, global operation, and kind of segued out of that, providing, you know, more global services to various clientele.
And Megan, tell us your story.
Yep, my name is Megan. Started with LP right after graduation from Behrend. I've been with the company for probably around 3 years now. I started in air imports and handled all the international cargo into the U.S. Now I'm the imports manager and oversee both air and ocean on the import side. And then I also assist with the IOR inquiries as we start growing that.
Thanks for sharing that, everybody. We're going to move on now to the Q&A portion of the show. Yuri, what are some of the trends that you are seeing in global logistics and the types of services that companies are looking for when they approach outside logistics providers such as LP?
I mean, some of the trends right now is that, you know, logistics field is very complicated. The capacity is a huge issue and it's really difficult to get space. And it goes both on ocean and air, and it's the same for the export and import. So it's truly kind of a global problem right now where the rates are extremely high. It's a supply and demand kind of issues with, you know, between the, you know, starting out with tariffs and then, you know, between COVID and now with the capacity and, you know, so it's canal blockages. There's been a lot of challenges, you know, last year and obviously this year. And especially as the economy is kind of starting to reopen, there is significant capacity shortages. Majority of air freight actually moves on passenger aircraft. And since so many flights have been canceled and there aren't that many passenger flights overseas right now due to the pandemic, that created a humongous backlogs on, you know, transportation, inbound, outbound. So, you know, certainly a very challenging times right now. And, you know, the rates are also all over the place and the cost, the shipping cost has just skyrocketed, you know, especially recently.
Has this been the most difficult time that you've ever seen working in this industry as far as trying to accomplish the job for a client?
To be honest with you, probably yes. And we've had some challenging times in 2008 and you know, through various other issues, but just overall with a lot of these issues all kind of going, you know, back to back to back, it's certainly been very challenging just because of the, you know, the backlogs and with, generally a lot of the U.S. customers are now going away from the just-in-time inventory model simply because they, you know, have been burned by it. They ran out of parts and didn't have, you know, shut down some of their assembly lines. So, you know, everybody's trying to get as many, you know, rather parts or products as possible. So they have their safety stocks. And, you know, because of that, they are also willing to pay premium. And, you know, that's what keeps, you know, this demand continues to drive up the pricing, and just simply supply is not there. So, you know, you have thousands and thousands of containers waiting on ships in China and other Southeast countries, and just a very difficult environment right now.
In the past couple of years, there have been some major events that have disrupted global supply chains, including COVID-19, the Trump tariffs, and the recent Suez Canal blockade. How have these events impacted Logistics Plus and its customers?
Each of these events impacted us significantly. And, you know, they impacted different customers differently. And you're absolutely right. You know, COVID-19 certainly has the biggest impact. You know, with Trump tariffs, actually before the COVID, you know, the U.S. companies adjusted to it, rather, you know, moving certain production to Southeast Asian countries, or simply coping with higher prices, rather passing them to a consumer or absorbing them. You know, and then when COVID hit, it's just the capacity, the closures, the working from home, and you know, that really kind of drove the supply down to nothing. And now that you know, we're hopefully coming out of this pandemic worldwide, and the economies of the world are reopening, it's creating a huge backlog because you know, everybody's ready to open up. They're, you know, opening up, whether it's manufacturing lines or retail stores, and you know, they need their product. And the issue is that that capacity is not as easy to put back in play. And, you know, and then there's smaller events, like the Suez Canal blockage. And, you know, I mean, although it affected the shipping community for about a week, but there was a significant amount of, you know, backlog that it created. And there is still cargo stuck on that ship because of the fight with Suez Canal authorities. So it's certainly been challenging. And, you know, Megan, if you want to comment on that, since that's also a field that you live in every day on the import side into U.S.
Yeah, it definitely affected the container availability too. I mean, that was honestly something that was prior to the Suez Canal. Definitely did not help with that blockage, because now you have all those containers that are stuck there, and all the other vessels that are waiting to get through that canal, just gridlocked. So, and then that also impacted, some of them were rerouted. So you have longer transits between, instead of, for sailing schedules, instead of what you were expecting to have. So, and even though that was mainly in the Middle East there, East Asia and Europe that would have been affected by that, that still all in turn comes back to the U.S. and the whole transportation industry, because we still need to turn those containers, turn those vessels. And surely enough, it trickles down, and we get impacted by that at the very end. So it's definitely been a tough field to navigate. We've been doing everything that we can to help address these issues with the customers. Honestly, it just comes down to being transparent with them and explaining the industry right now, because yes, they read the news articles. Yes, they see it, but they're not living it and breathing it every day. They really don't understand the impact that certain effects can have on their cargo, you know, that might be on some vessel in the middle of the Pacific. So it's just having the knowledge behind it and being able to talk to them and communicate what's actually going on and coming to solutions for their cargo. That's ultimately what we can do and what we have to do. And typically that ends up with a very appreciative customer in the end. So as long as we keep doing that, I think we'll be able to navigate. Hopefully we're done with all these surprises, you know, from the tariffs to COVID to Suez Canal. And I hope nothing else really comes up to play, but I'm sure we'll be able to help assist if it does.
Megan, let me ask you a follow-up question. Does dealing with the backlog really boil down to having to be superior at customer service so you can manage expectations with clients?
It definitely does help. Being able to, like I said, communicate and discuss with the customers and having that open relationship with them, it definitely does help give you a better edge on the market. Like it's being able to talk to them and tell them what's going on with their shipment. And whenever you have disasters come play, because honestly, things are going to come up. There's going to be problems with a shipment, whether it's going to be something to the extent of COVID or maybe just a delay in the vessel. You're going to have to be able to explain those to your customer. So whether it's small or large, that's the biggest key in the game.
Yuri, we don't dive into political discussion very often on this program, but we want to ask this question. Are there early trends that show if the current administration will be more or less friendly than the previous administration when it comes to global supply chains?
That's an interesting question and a hard question to answer at this point. Since administration came in, its primary focus have been the COVID relief bills, as well as, you know, discussions on the infrastructure bills. So there hasn't been much of an impact on international trade at all. And as you know, actually, Biden administration did leave the Trump tariffs, the China tariffs in play. And, you know, so it's hard to say at this point. There hasn't been much of a change. There hasn't been much of a difference on supply chain, you know, outside of obviously the fact that the world economies are, or most of them are, opening up, and that's, you know, definitely stimulating the entire supply chain and creating a tremendous amount of demand. But I wouldn't really tie anything to the kind of the new administration. It seems like it's been, the focus of the administration so far has been mostly on the domestic policy and domestic COVID recovery rather than the supply chain. So kind of, you know, I'm curious to see what are some of the moves will be over the next, you know, 6 months to a year and what effects that will have on supply chain.
The next question we're going to open up to the entire panel. As companies continue to navigate global supply chains, importer of record, or IOR, and exporter of record, known as EOR, services have taken off for Logistics Plus, haven't they?
Okay, yeah, sure thing. So this is actually a relatively unique level of service. It's not necessarily new, but it has become a lot more popular over the last few years with some of the big, you know, Fortune 500 tech companies that import and export kind of, you know, complex IT products that support cloud infrastructure and, you know, basically support various infrastructure type of things where they do not have presence in a specific country or simply don't have the, you know, the ability to source different kind of licensing and follow different types of regulations. So what they do is they do a full outsource model where they ask a company like ours to assist them in shipping some of these, let's say controlled commodities from United States in accordance with all the rules and regulations, with all the proper licensing as required, and then to import them under our name into, you know, a country, let's say like India, with compliance with all of their laws and regulations and licensing, and then basically install it or deliver it to their final destination and put it in use where, you know, it's in the country under our name, but our customer still owns that specific product because it is being used to provide, you know, let's say the cloud infrastructure, basically provide the cloud infrastructure service. So it's unique and, you know, on the exporter, and this is the one that I covered on the exporter and the importer. If Courtney and Megan want to add something as well.
Yeah, and on the export and importer, I mean, they're relatively similar services, just that, you know, on the export basis or the import basis. In addition to, you know, what Yuri was saying, which, you know, it's kind of segue, but what we do for our customers is they want a hands-off approach to their imports or exports. So we're that's kind of blown up in the last couple of years as people want the seamless ease of business. They want us to take all the responsibility off their hands and control their entire supply chain from end to end through their logistics services. So that's, you know, increasingly grown over the last couple of years and being more attractive to a lot of our customer base that we've been onboarding.
You know, on this entire supply chain to do something like that, the complexity of this is unique because, you know, you need to have a compliance expert, and then you need to have a customs expert, and then you need to have a logistics expert, and then you need to have a white glove delivery expert, and you need to have sometimes a fiscal representation representing, you know, VAT and GST type taxes in foreign countries. And we do it all. So we, you know, basically provide that entire service from the very beginning till the very last step, which in many instances is installation and commissioning of a specific equipment. So it's a very unique area that not many of our competitors play in. And that has been very fast growing and very successful for us.
And I'll open this up to the entire panel for a follow-up. From the sounds of it, IOR and EOR services are going to be a huge part now of Logistics Plus's future, correct?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're definitely, we're investing a lot into human capital and into, basically into growing this and into different types of marketing and sales efforts, because this is certainly the service that we want our customers and potential customers to know that they can come to us with. And, it's one of the divisions of Logistics Plus that we, you know, that we identified as kind of one of the, you know, with one of the largest potentials.
Yeah, I mean, as Yuri, you know, hinted at there a little bit in his early responses, you know, not in addition to import of record, export of record service, I mean, through the entire supply chain for our customers, you know, there's the compliance, there's the logistics service. But then again, you know, for our tech customers in particular, we do, you know, warehousing for them. We do kitting services. We provide other white glove delivery services. We provide decommissioning of their servers. We do the installation of their equipment at data centers and other job sites. We provide, you know, disposal services for them for their equipment. So there's varying levels of, you know, value add service or other white glove services that we provide in conjunction with this IOR or EOR. So, and again, like as Yuri mentioned, you know, there's other competitors in our market that strictly specialize in specific parts of that supply chain that will only provide an importer of record service per se. And then Logistics Plus stands out as, you know, we provide all those additional services to go along with that IOR. So it does set us apart from other people.
Any other examples of clients for whom you're providing these services?
These clients really vary. They vary between, certain IT providers, certain, resellers, manufacturers, and even some companies that are tied to the aviation and DoD sector.
And then that's the bulk majority of our clientele base, but it also comes from like all walks of life. And Megan, you can jump in on this too. She's been funneling a lot of this traffic as well, some of our new inquiries, but we're getting customer bases spread across all markets. I mean, Megan, what have we been seeing? Like fertilizer and medical parts?
Yeah, fertilizer, artwork. We recently did one for a kidney dialysis group. So they ship parts and commodities that assist if anyone going through dialysis. And they were going into, I think, Germany and Japan mainly. So we were helping out with those. And you can just see, like, from IT to kidney dialysis equipment, it varies. But basically, if there's somebody that needs help and we are able to assist with the compliance side of it, and we understand what, you know, we're getting into, and we have a group that can handle it, we're going to. there's really no reason for us to say no if we have everything set up and we're able to move forward and transport it and act as the importer, why we can't assist.
Yuri, back to you with this question. What other challenges are your global customers seeing today, and how is Logistics Plus helping them through those challenges?
You know, kind of as I mentioned before, capacity, regulatory compliance is huge. You know, and a lot of them I've already covered in my previous answers. But, you know, again, it also depends on each specific customer. It depends on the specific market. And these challenges, they constantly change and evolve. And, you know, whether a customer has a recall on their product or the customer has a difficulty entering a new market. So, you know, every single week or every single month, we jump in on the new specific project and help customers resolve a specific challenge, whether it's, you know, just in time or, you know, a certain regulatory issue, changes in laws and regulations. So, you know, it just, it's kind of as the company continues to get bigger, as our customer base is very broad and extremely diverse, you know, we have our, you know, almost everyday challenges that we have to rise up to and help our customers solve and make sure that, you know, that their supply chains are unaffected.
I know diversity and sustainability are two important areas getting a lot of attention across the industry. Where does LP stand right now on these two key issues?
Yeah, so, you know, that's been very high on our kind of corporate radar. This is something that we have been addressing. And, you know, we are one of the more diverse companies in the entire supply chain world. And, you know, in terms of sustainability and environmental impact, we're also very active. And we have become the first supply chain company that became plastic neutral. And we've done that through a partnership with a company called REO, which stands for Restoring Integrity of the Oceans. And they collect ocean plastic. And they convert it into various products such as, you know, shoes and different types of, you know, clothing, recycled ocean plastic pallets and other stuff. And we've partnered up with them in helping them with their supply chain, with their material flow. But we've also kind of wanted to be, to set the tone by being one of the first companies. So we measured our entire overall global plastic footprint. And then, you know, through various plastic offsets and collections, we became the first supply chain company to be plastic neutral. And, you know, we plan to continue to do this every year. And that's kind of very hard on our radar.
Megan, we'll start with you for this one. It's our understanding that LP was recently recognized once again for having a special workplace. It seems the workplace accolades continue to pour in. This time it was Inc. magazine that named Logistics Plus one of only 12 companies to its 2021 editors list for creating a great workplace during the pandemic. What makes LP so special?
So while we're team-orientated, LP allows its employees to, I feel like, dig deeper and learn more if you're willing. So it's really in the individual. So we can take on as much as we want, as long as you can handle it. It's very much, like I said, up to the individual for what role, you know, you want to be in. And it's very team. And while it's individual orientated, it's also a very friendly environment, a team effort, I guess we could say. So it's a very open environment, too. So if I ever need a helping hand or any insight for a new inquiry, I can always go knocking on someone's door and get more insight if I need. So it definitely helps with the development side. So you can basically take on as much as you want or as little as you want and kind of grow as you need.
Courtney and Yuri, your thoughts on that question?
I think Megan pretty much covered that one pretty well.
In all honesty, I mean, we strive to be that kind of organization. We strive to be, kind of a flat structured organization where everybody's voice can be heard, where everyone's opinion that counts. And, you want to provide the environment that allows for kind of creative problem solving and not, you know, ideas not getting lost in a chain of command too much. So, You know, we strive to provide and kind of support that type of a work environment that's low in bureaucracy and, you know, high on kind of problem solving ideas and, you know, great attitude. So that's kind of, you know, that continues to be our mission. We feel like that's something that's very special about Logistics Plus. And, you know, it's for us, it's culture over everything, whether we're hiring new people or whether we're working with existing people, for us, it's that cultural fit, that ability to problem solve and come up with creative idea. That's what makes LP special.
Yuri, are there any other global operations updates that you can share with us? And have you opened up any new offices or warehouses?
Yeah, we've opened up some new operations in Japan. We've opened up new operations in Singapore. Fully incorporated in Australia and a few other Southeast Asia countries. On the USA side, we opened an office in Miami with a warehouse as well. It's about only 2 miles away from the Miami International Airport, which is becoming our large hub into South America. We're in the process of opening Charlotte and Norfolk offices. And we also relatively recently opened a new Logistics Plus operation in Cincinnati.
As we get closer to the end of the program, we would be remiss if we didn't mention LP's 25th anniversary coming up in August. Any thoughts on that milestone and what it means for LP?
It's definitely a very exciting thing for us, and, you know, especially coming out of COVID and, you know, hopefully being able to hold an event like that and to be able to share that event with the local community, but also with all of our, other offices in the United States and overseas. So we're all very excited for that. We have a full day planned with it. And for us, we're never content. We're never set in a waste. And if you look, you know, now in year 25, we're a very different company than even in a year 23. And within the next few years, we'll probably, you know, we want to continue to grow and evolve and kind of learn new things and, you know, never be kind of set in our ways and be content. So we're excited for the event and, hope to have a lot of, people in the Erie community to participate in it.
Yuri, Courtney, and Megan, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you joining us for this edition of the Business Spotlight. Where can our audience go if they'd like to learn more about IOR, EOR, or any of LP's other global solutions?
They can reach out to us via our website. And, Scott and Ryan have done a tremendous job kind of managing all of our internet content. There's a lot of details on our website. There's a special page that's designed for the IOR and EOR, and it continues to improve. And, our emails are all available on the website as well, and anyone can reach out to any of us, to Meg and Courtney or myself, and we would be happy to walk them through and explain, the whole process of how it works and what are some of the opportunities. And that website is located at logisticsplus.com.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio, WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.